I acknowledge my co-authors, Daryl, who obviously is the spearhead of this project, and Minerva Durantes, just graduated or just finished her master's in defense, and so very proud of her. But she's been worked hard on this as well. So you know how you get at the end of the year, or end of the semester, you get your evaluations back. We get stuff like, you should have brought more snacks. I got mosquito bitten. We even got, one guy was mad because we started a field trip on deer season. He said he needed to get his meat for the year. But since we've started using these iPads, we've got much different comments. This is one comment that I thought was really neat. He said these mats are like having a bird's eye view with x-ray vision. And I've noticed that just generally the overall comments of the class are getting better. Our evaluations are getting better because I feel like they're really starting to learn the material and make some connections and gaining some pride in understanding landscapes better. Because really, it's difficult to teach when you're talking about processes that occur over a scale that's beyond the line of sight. And so people can usually make pretty good relationships between what they can visually see. But when you're talking about what's the soil over the hill, it's hard for, it takes a long time and a lot of training. But I think the maps shortcut this. It helps us understand these spatial variability across landscapes. And it allows us to change layers quickly at the scale, and also change scales to see these relationships with crops, cropping systems, and begin to understand better some of the environmental issues that impact entire watersheds. So we're trying to take these conceptual models, which this is what I learned on, these block diagrams, and try to take those block diagrams of these large-scale features and small-scale features and put them on the ground so that people can begin to form their own relationships to get their own mental models. So our solution is really put the processes so that they can be seen at multiple scales, and also thinking about multiple processes simultaneously, because you can just change the layer to see new information at that same scale, and it really starts helping the students put this together. The other thing that we found in the field specifically is that we get to utilize the entire field lab period, because before the iPads, they're talking about the party they went to last week as we're driving out to look at a soil. Now we've got them exercises. They have to look at the pads. They have to look out the window. So they're working the whole time on the bus. And when they get to the field, we work in the field to look at the soil. So they're gaining that morphology experience, but they're also relating it back to where they are in the landscape. And so to me, that's a really powerful way to maximize the time of learning as well. And it's fun. They're enjoying it. And so to me, that's a crucial step, because as they're enjoying it, they're going to work a little harder and gain a little more information. So this is one of the examples of our northern field trip. So we start out, you've been in Tippecanoe County so much now, you probably know it already. But we started out there, and we go up to Lake Michigan and back. And so from there, this is it's about 90 miles or so trip. Takes us about 12 hours to get there and back. But we're, this is our block diagram showing that this is some process of the glaciers where it's at a moraine melting. You have outwash going out in front of the glacier, and then you have some wind reworked material. So we can show this particular figure on the maps, and they can see that it's a real world application that actually occurs in our state and is affecting our soils that they're seeing. When we just have the block diagram, it's hard for them to visualize really, does that matter? How does it matter? How's it shaping our landscape? So this is, I got some screenshots from IC, but we'll show you some examples. You've seen this, the parent material map of Indiana. And we'll zoom into Tippecanoe County. But when we take them to the field, we're trying to get this association of this green material that we say sand and gravel, and make them describe and visualize and see, what does this sand and gravel look like? What is it? What's its morphology? And when we take them out to the till, when we're driving, we're asking them questions about the till. Then they get out, they examine the soil, and they get hopefully they're getting this cemented, this is till, this is what it looks like, this is what relates to this brown color on the map. And then, as you've seen, it relates to the morphology. So we also want them to get from their descriptions that sand and gravel is poorly is well drained, gives a certain colors of the soil that you can use to interpret the drainage class. The same with the poorly drained soils, when their descriptions are matching what they're seeing on the map, I feel like it's a pretty powerful powerful message getting repeated multiple times. Also, the mollisols that are occurring on this particular area, which is related to the parent material. So they're doing descriptions of this soil, and they're putting all of those three layers, we hope, together to understand more of the map so they can develop their mental models of how the soils are changing across the landscape. And also not just that one little terrace in Tippecanoe County, but it's a large part of a larger ecosystem of grasslands that formed in Indiana to form these mollisols, and to think beyond where they're standing on the landscape to the broader area of Indiana and hopefully more of the United States, which we'll be able to see soon, I hope. So I'll take you down to the southern part of Indiana again with the karst. This is our area of limestone, and it has really good karst topography. We'll show you. And we have this diagram showing, this is a typical karst topography diagram where you have sinkholes, you have lots of recharge through the rocks, you have these underground cave systems with some of them have water, some of them are just caves. And so this is a good diagram to help them visualize it, but when we go to the field, we try to take that back to what the soils are and what the landscape's like. So we keep zooming in on this particular area. You can see this area is just riddled with these sinkholes, lots of sinking streams. So the water is going in the soil and going into this underground system. And so we take them back to this block diagram to say, remember this block diagram, remember this system. There's your soils and your landscapes. And lo and behold, you have well-drained soils on this bedrock, because underneath these soils, there's an outlet for the water, and it's got a place to go, so you wind up with well-drained soils on these nice red terra rosa soils. So it's another good way of in the southern part to link when we're out in the field to show them what we can see. As you can see from this other block diagram, it's just another example of showing these blocks that we show in class. We can, in the field, because we have these handouts where they can look at these block diagrams, and we ask them questions about helping locate where they are, and they can see the pitted outwash plain, they can see the Aeolian sands, the moraines, and link that to really what they're seeing out the window where they can look down at their iPad. Again, this is one of our field trips. We're in this dune field, which if you're driving and not paying attention, you wouldn't really notice it. The elevation is maybe, you know, difference of the ceiling, so you wouldn't really know. But when you see it on this, with the parameter, with the underlay, with the DEM, it really stands out. And so then they notice there's trees on the sand dunes where there's not on the, in the fields between. And so they're starting to make those connections. And then we stop and do a topo sequence where we're on top of the dune, and well-drained sandy soil, side slope, and then we get in this depression, and we get this really gray soil with umbric dark black epipedon. So then hopefully we're trying to get this whole topo sequence embedded into seeing the parent material and the related drainage class to understand that this is a feature that's repeatable across the landscape. And by knowing this, observing this one spot, they can extrapolate that information to their mental model and understand better the soils and landscapes. So we hope that students are seeing the relationship of a pedon that they're observing and the morphology in that pedon to the broader context of the landscape and the parent materials. We really see a lot more interaction from the students. I feel like we're getting a lot more questions than we would have otherwise, because they're exploring maybe not just exactly what we're talking about on the field trip. They're looking at another area, and they're asking a question, well, why is this like this over here, but we're here? And so it gives you another outlet for them to be thinking and asking questions. And as I said before, they're learning the entire lab period. They're not, as we're on the bus riding to describe a soil, they're getting information. and answering questions and hopefully putting together these mental models. And it's really a lot more fun for us too. So it gives us a way, it gives us a new teaching medium, which is really, really fun that it's and you can tell they're excited about it. So it's really, and we can tell that from the evaluations we're getting in class for the student participation and people coming back years later and saying, that's one of the best classes I ever had because of the, I felt like I learned a lot. And so anyway, that's the sort of an overview from the field. Sorry for all the Tippecanoe County stuff again. So you guys are going to be experts on Tippecanoe County after this.
Okay, we've got a few minutes for questions. So questions to Philip or any of us.
Yes.
I wasn't here at the beginning, so this may be a question you've already answered, so I apologize. But can you explain to me, I mean, we have web soil survey. This is obviously iPad-based. It's easy for the students to use. It doesn't seem as powerful. You can't overlay layers and do that kind of thing. So can you explain to me, you know, the relationship between the two and
sure. These maps.
You can go with, why do you,
yeah, well, the problem, you know, using the soil survey, we tried teaching with that before, but it's based on morphologic taxonomic information at the series level. And so that doesn't always translate to see a whole landscape of till. And so the way the maps were created, we're combining all of the series into common units. So we common parent materials, common drainage classes, common orders, so that you could see things at broader scales as well. And also, if you read a series name, they're not at the level where they can understand what a typic aquiudol is. Aquol. I mean, they're really needing more broad information to begin, again, going down to the level where we can build off of that for taxonomy.
So do you, in terms of next steps, are you taking this to the level where you will be able to do things like overlay different layers and be able to look at print material and elevation at the same time and things like that?
Well, this one has elevation embedded underneath the layers, so you can see it's an overlay, and so you can get that landform as well as the parent material as well. But the layers are really just you have to switch back and forth at the scale that you're at. But we haven't really talked about how to overlay more.
When you start overlaying things, particularly two-colored maps, suddenly you have no ledger, and you begin to get confused. I'm not so sure that it really facilitates all the time. And so we've kept the maps separate so that you can switch back and forth and zoom in and zoom out. The web soil survey, I think, what is it, 10,000 acres is the biggest?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore?
No.
Can you get the whole state or not?
No, definitely. Something in between.
What's that?
Something in between, I believe.
Okay. But when we started this, it was even less. And you've got to really work to get that. I mean, we've done the work for one.
Right.
And so that you can go anywhere and just zoom right in.
The other interesting thing about scale that Daryl mentioned, or the legend, is it seems like you get more than 15 different colors on there. You can't tell what's what. So, you know, it really, you have to boil it down and condense it a little bit to talk in more broad scale processes.
Okay.